going to hear can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
That's a penalty!
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical Rx. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton. Look in my eyes, what do you
see? This is the only live and local evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. That's Creighton with you, 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the HRP listener line, on the text line, on X-Twitter, at Pete Creighton 1. Josh Evans on the other side of the glass. Welcome back from your extended vacation, my friend. On the Twitter, X at IMJChevy. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975, ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN97.5 and take us with you everywhere you go. You know you'll wanna. So, I didn't put this on, but the Knicks and the Celtics are on the TV in here, which I will be appreciative of, because as much as you see, got the Rocket swag on today. By the way, thank you to the Houston Rockets organization for providing me with said swag. I do like said swag. All black Rockets hat, the black. I was like, this is cool. I didn't get one of the, you know, the ketchup and mustard hats. I wouldn't have worn it, to be honest with you. I don't like that particular color combo. I don't wear anything that would go with that particular color combo. So I'm a fan of the all black. And it was a fitted. It wasn't even a snapback. Usually I don't like fitteds because they don't fit. That's important. When you have a fitted hat, it has to actually fit your noggin. And, well, my head might be a little bigger than some other people's, and I'm not talking figuratively. I am actually talking literally. But now that I've got, you know, less hair than I used to have, not balding, but kept shorter, no more, I'm not rocking the all one length down to my, like halfway down my back like I did in college.
Do you know, if you were to buy a fitted, do you know the size that you would have to purchase for the hat?
I don't. You know why? This hat didn't say what size it was. But it's probably a large because I have a big fat head. I also don't like when the hat feels like it's squeezing my head.
Oh, I hate that.
I get a headache from that. I don't like that. So very much appreciative to the Rockets and their staff for not only giving me the cool hat, because other guys didn't get the black hat. Other guys got red hats. I got the black hat. They like me. And I appreciate that. However, the Rockets tonight, well, it's the first game of the season, and they're a young team. So maybe we'll just leave it at, it's the first game of the season, and they're a young team. We'll get into them later on, but they are getting pantsed in Orlando right now. That, of course, is not really the big news of the day. That is the big aside of the day. The big news of the day is that the Astros are going to have a new manager. You heard us say the other day, you know, there were rumblings about Dusty Baker having told people privately this was going to be his last season. You heard some comments for him where he said, you know, you compare last year, where he's like, hey, we won one, let's go for two, I'm not stopping. Very, very different tone to how he spoke this year. I'm going to think about what I'm going to do, not sure. That is code for I'm freaking out of here. And he's worked on, you know, one-year contracts. That was kind of the whole deal with him and Crane, was Kramer's just going to give him a one-year deal and Dusty keep managing on one-year deals until Dusty says, I don't want to manage anymore. Well, tomorrow, the Astros are going to have a press conference, and Dusty Baker's going to say, I don't want to manage anymore. I am retiring. And regardless of how you felt about Dusty this year, because I thought this was a very frustrating year for fans to watch Dusty Baker manage the Houston Astros. Unlike the three previous years, this was the most frustrating year to watch him manage as he seemingly deliberately did things that flew directly in the face of logic, of math, and of common sense. Just like, I'm going to give you all the giant middle one just because I can. I felt like Dusty carried on his rivalry with James Click by just projecting it onto Dana Brown. And Dana Brown, much like James Click, analytics guy, wants the relationship between GM and manager to be more of a partnership, similar to how Luno and AJ Hinch operated, and not the "this is your house, this is my house" method that Dusty Baker operates with. James Click, who didn't hire Dusty Baker, never had that kind of relationship, that kind of rapport, nor did he have that kind of control. Dusty didn't report to James Click. Dusty reported to Jim Crane. And it was a constant battle for who was going to get their way. The young, analytic, savvy, math-driven young GM, or the old-school, well-respected manager who was brought in to give credence and credibility to an organization that had just lost all of it in the public eye. And Dusty won that battle. They won a World Series, and the GM was given a one-year deal, which basically is, you should get another job. And James Click accepted that for what it was and chose to decline the offer and left. And it took months before a new GM was named. They had three assistant GMs. But it took months before a new GM was named. And Dana Brown, another guy highly analytical, wants it to be a partnership. Dusty wasn't having it. There had to be at least eight separate press conferences this year that Dana Brown had, where he all but called out Dusty Baker and said, "Can you please do the things that I want you to do? I constructed the roster in a certain way so that you could do these things, and you literally just refused to do it." And he'd have to always caveat everything with, well, you know, Dusty's the manager and he makes the lineup. Because Dusty still had the sway with the owner. Maybe Dusty got tired of having the media and the fans and guys on his own team griping about his seemingly poor managerial decisions one too many times. But Dusty is a Hall of Famer. You know, Dusty's 74 years old, and at some point, the game passes everybody by. It seemed like we watched that happen this year. Dusty seemed to make every right move last year. It also helped they had the best pitching staff in baseball. But he seemed to make all the right moves last year and a lot of wrong ones this year. It's almost like the only person who did not recognize the Astros pitching was nowhere near as strong as it was a year ago was Dusty Baker. The only person who did not realize the Astros defense was not as strong as it was a year ago was Dusty Baker. It was like he still thought he was managing the 2022 team and made a lot of decisions based on the 2022 team. Like, I'm going to play Martin Maldonado no matter what. I don't care that Jose Altuve is injured. I don't care that Yordan Alvarez is injured. I don't care that Michael Brantley is injured. I don't care that I'm putting up a lineup with five minor leaguers in it. I'll be damned if I'm going to play my young power-hitting catcher over my old guy. I don't care if Rafael Montero hasn't gotten a guy out in a month. He's pitching the eighth or the ninth, and I don't care what anybody else says. L. Oh, all right, maybe we'll make a change. And there are a lot of things that you can look at and shake your head and say, what in the bleepity blank went on with the Houston Astros this year? A team that, for the first half of the year, couldn't score in a whorehouse with a suitcase full of hundreds. And as Altuve got back into the lineup, as Yordan Alvarez got back into the lineup, as the calendar turned to the second half of the season and Alex Bregman found his bat, as Jose Abreu kind of got over a back injury finally and found his bat, the Astros suddenly started to score runs. And they could score runs in bunches. But they still couldn't pitch. How much do you want me to make you sick right now, Josh Evans?
On a scale of 1 to 10, about like I don't think I can manage more than a 7 right about now.
All right, so at bats this season, Martin Maldonado, 362. Yanner Diaz, 355. Many of those came at DH while Alvarez and Altuve were injured. Corey Jolks, 298. One of those guys is a career minor leaguer. And got 57 at-bats less than a guy who, if he played, let's say, another 125 at-bats, might be AL Rookie of the Year. The whole, oh, Yiner Diaz, you'll appreciate that I sat him down. Yiner Diaz didn't win Rookie of the Year this year, despite hitting 23 homers in part-time play, because he had 47 at-bats on June 1st. And there's really just no... You want another crazy stat?
Hit me.
Yiner Diaz had a 3.2 WAR this year in 355 at-bats. In 360 at-bats, Jose Altuve had a 2.8 WAR. This season, according to WAR, Yiner Diaz was more valuable than Jose Altuve on the field. Now, that might wind up being a statistical anomaly for years to come. Or it might indicate that Yiner Diaz has a hell of a bat, because Jose did have a 393 OPS, on base and a 915 OPS. And the fact that his WAR was 0.4 less than Yiner Diaz, who had 60 points less of OPS, albeit six more homers, probably tells you that Diaz's defensive prowess is being taken into account, even though he didn't play because of defense, allegedly. Yiner Diaz was worth three more wins in WAR than Martin Maldonado this year. That's a large number, by the way. And these are numbers why that Astros fans were extremely frustrated with Dusty Baker. But let's remember, he came up into Major League Baseball in 1968 at age 19. He is a two-time All-Star. He is a two-time Silver Slugger. He is a Gold Glove winner. Dusty Baker won the very first ever NLCS MVP. He is a world champion as a player in 1981. In 1977, he had a career-high 30 home runs and was part of the first team in baseball history to have four 30 home run hitters on it. Dusty Baker, Steve Garvey, Reggie Smith, Ron Say. That was Tommy Lasorda's first year as manager of the Dodgers. He is seventh all-time in manager wins with 2,183. He has 11 wins behind Sparky Anderson for sixth place all-time. He's a .540 career winning percentage. He is a three-time manager of the year. He's a World Series champion as a manager. He is one of seven people to ever win a World Series as both a player and as a manager. Davey Johnson, Mike Socia, Lou Piniella, Dave Roberts, Joe Girardi, Alex Cora, Dusty Baker. His 41 years between titles is a Major League Baseball record. Dusty Baker is absolutely a Hall of Famer, but it's also absolutely time for him to move on. I am very appreciative of everything he did with the Astros, and I think most Astros fans are. But it is definitely time the Astros and Dusty go their separate ways. Dusty rides off into the sunset, a two-time champion and a future Hall of Famer. You know what the question is? Who's next?
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, what happened?
And every time something would go wrong, I would look at the camera and say, "Hey, what happened?"
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
If this is, in fact, the end for Dusty, and all accounts are that it is, and I've seen some of the odds for next managers for various teams, and Dusty is listed. Listen, if Dusty is leaving the Astros, Dusty's done. He's not leaving here so he could go somewhere else. 74 years old. Like, how long do you think he's going to manage? At some point, you want to live your life on your own terms. At some point, you don't want to deal with annoying media people asking you questions about, why did you bring in a guy who can't get a guy out for the last month into a one-run game in the ninth and watch him blow it? Why did you leave your rookie pitcher in the game to give up four runs when he couldn't get an out past a high school kid and not have anybody warming? Why did you let your catcher who can't hit 200 bat in one of the most key spots in the game when you know he can't get a hit to save his life? I mean, you could apply that to like at any point during the season. But, at some point, you're tired of asking questions. And look, Dusty gave a lot of those troll answers this year. Why don't y'all shut up and let me manage? You're getting tired of it. That comes with the expectations. Like, Game 7 of the ALCS, in the grand scheme of things, is nothing to be ashamed of. And this team went to Game 7 of the ALCS, Game 6 of the World Series, won a World Series, Game 7 of the ALCS. There's nothing for this team to hang its head about. But who's next in line? Who's the next manager of the Houston Astros, and who do you want to be the next manager of the Houston Astros, and there is a phone number, and it is 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Who do you want? Who do you think should be the next manager of the Houston Astros? And you're going to hear a lot of names bounce around. Look, A.J. Hinch's name is going to bounce around. Been there, done that. I don't need to see A.J. come back. Okay, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but 2019 is going to stick in my memory forever. Because that might have been the best Astros team of this whole run. And they couldn't get a win at home. And that wasn't a team that couldn't score at home. But, you know, Will Harris over Gerrit Cole. That's unforgivable. It's unforgivable. And you can, well, you know, Harris made a pretty good pitch, and the guy just, you know, got a good late swing on it and barely got out. Gerrit frickin' Cole! I mean, what, did he strike out 300 guys that year? I mean, we're not going to go to Gerrit Cole! Well, you know, he's never come in before with guys on base. He's coming in to strike him out. Scare Cole. See, this is, you see how the anger just comes right to the top? This is why I don't want to see A.J. Hinch anymore. No, you know what? Thank you for 2017. Thank you for smashing two TV sets. We wish you the best of your future endeavors. Buck Showalter. Buck Showalter's career is literally always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Everywhere Buck goes, the team wins, but they don't win at all. But when he leaves, oh, they win it all. You don't want Buck Showalter. You want the guy that's going to follow Buck Showalter, because that guy wins. I mean, it's kind of amazing when you look at Buck Showalter's career, how as good he makes teams better, but he can never get them over the top.
So you're saying he's the Mark Jackson to the Steve Kerr?
Literally. Example. Buck was the manager of the New York Yankees. 4 years. He's fired. He's replaced by Joe Torre. They win the World Series the next season. He was the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks for 3 years. He's fired. They won the World Series the next season. He was the manager of the Texas Rangers for 4 years. Now, it took a couple of years, but they went to back-to-back World Series. He was the manager of the Baltimore Orioles for 9 years. The last two seasons, they've been straight up on the arrow. Best record in the American League this year. And now two seasons with the Mets, one of which he won 101 games. Whoever the Mets manager is next year, much better shot of winning.
Is that gambling advice?
But, I mean, he's left two teams that won World Series the next year. And both of the other two teams that he left, you know, were improved to one, two-time back-to-back World Series appearance. And now, best record in the American League. Who was the Mets manager next? That guaranteed NL pennant. You're going to hear Craig Counsell's name bounced around because he's going to be the hottest man. Craig Counsell's going to the Mets. Craig Counsell is going to the Mets because the Mets hired David Stearns, who was the guy who hired Craig Counsell in Milwaukee. Craig Counsell is going to be the guy who wins the ring that Buck Showalter couldn't win. That's coming. All right, but don't think about Craig Counsell. Craig Counsell's going to New York. Joe Girardi, if you want a manager who's going to walk around with a clipboard, and another guy who, didn't he get fired in Philadelphia mid-season last year, and then the team took off and went to the World Series against the Astros? I want the guy who took them to the World Series, not the guy who got fired so they can hire the guy who took them to the World Series. They were floundering under Joe Girardi, who is very much a control freak. Pass. Hard pass. That brings us to four other names that probably have a realistic shot, deserved or not, of being the Astros manager. We'll get into those next.
ESPN 97.5.com. Fighter of the Night, man.
Hey, man. Oh.
Late Night Houston Sports Talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes. Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
And a minute here from my friend Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring. 4 years ago, Dr. Ben changed my life. And I can't tell you how much better I feel because of it. You know what? It's great to be able to breathe well and sleep through the night. There's nothing better than being able to sleep through the night when you are so used to not being able to sleep through the night, waking up multiple times, and often being more tired when you wake up than when you went to bed. I dealt with sinus issues for over 20 years. And I'd been to more than a half dozen doctors in two different states, and was basically led to believe that, hey, look, it is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. You're just going to have to accept it and do the best you can and take a lot of meds. When I was referred to go to see Dr. Ben, I had almost been completely convinced there's nothing any doctor can do, so why should I bother going? But the best decision I made was going. He was the only doctor that wanted to find out the actual root cause of my sinus issue. And it turned out to be staph infection. All those years of antibiotics were never going to kill it. It just had me on the roller coaster from hell. A couple of weeks after I met Dr. Ben, I had a procedure done. They surgically removed staph infection. They did a balloon sinuplasty. They got rid of all the dead and damaged tissue in my sinuses. It was almost 100% blocked. People used to think I was snoring while I was awake, like during the day, because my airways were so blocked. Turns out I had a deviated septum. They fixed that too. And it's 4 years later. I sleep through the night. I feel great when I wake up. It feels so, it's like I sleep like a teenager again. If you'll deal with sinus issues, snoring issues, sleep apnea, want to get rid of that CPAP machine, maybe you can't use it, but you're just living with sleep apnea, extremely dangerous. Don't have to live like that. Just call Dr. Ben Salento, 346-413-9313, 346-413-9313, or go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com, TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Let Dr. Ben do for you what he did for me, what he's done for dozens of late hitters, what he's done for thousands of people around the city. Let him help you break the cycle and breathe. All right, who's going to be the next Astros manager? Well, I guess the easy choice that people are going to throw out there is Joe Espada. Joe Espada has been the Astros bench coach for a long time. He was a bench coach under A.J. Hinch. He's a bench coach under Dusty Baker. He has been with the team for like close to a decade. He knows the players. He knows the staff. He knows how the team operates. But these are the things that are working against him. Number one, you've got a new general manager. That GM hasn't gotten to hire his own manager yet. 99.99999% of GMs want to hire their own dude. Somebody they know. Somebody that they know aligns with them 100%. Jim Crane has never hired an internal candidate as a manager or as a GM for as long as he's owned the team. He always goes outside the organization. Joe Espada's tenure with the Astros might work against him. It doesn't matter if it's fair or unfair. It is what it is. And while I think Espada will make a good manager wherever he ultimately winds up going, he's kind of been the manager in waiting here for a couple of years. And that might all wind up proving to be for naught, because the Astros have a track record of not staying in the organization. There is Donnie Ecker. He is the Rangers bench coach. He's only 37. We've heard rumors the Astros want to get younger at manager. Well, Dusty was 74. Pretty much everybody's younger. Donnie Ecker's already worked for 5 different organizations. He's a guy that is considered a fast riser in a lot of baseball circles. But again, you know, old Sparky Anderson philosophy, great players make a great manager and lousy players make a lousy manager. He at 37 years old, he would be a, well, let's just say he'd be younger than at least one of his starting pitchers. Dark horse candidate, I think, is Walt Weiss. Walt Weiss has been the Braves bench coach since 2018. Obviously, Dana knows him because they were both part of the same organization. He has previous manager experience in Colorado, where he managed for 4 years. He also turned down the Marlins job after last season. Probably a good idea because the organization of turmoil. I mean, think about this, the Marlins. The guy who bought the team partly because of the stars in the eyes. Derek Jeter is going to be team president. But then he decided he didn't like Derek Jeter as team president because they didn't build it fast enough. Like, he didn't understand the Marlins had no money, no talent, and no farm system. They were extremely mismanaged. Jeffrey Loria stripped that franchise of every dollar he could. David Sansom brags about A, equity stripping the franchise, B, screwing the people of Miami to pay for a stadium, and then how much money they got when they sold it. Brag. And then idiots bring that guy on their radio stations when he's a colossal scumbag. You just saw the Marlins were going to replace Kimming as you know, the head of baseball operations after she got them to their first full season playoff appearance since 2003. She won't be out of work long. An example of another franchise where ownership has no bloody idea what the hell they're doing. So the fact that Walt Weiss turned that job down tells you he knew. Management in Miami has no bloody idea what the hell they're doing. GMs like guys they know, like guys they know are aligned with them. Walt Weiss could wind up shooting up the board very, very fast. Then there's Brad Ausmus, and I don't actually know why Brad Ausmus is on the list other than he's a former Astro. For some reason, Brad Ausmus was being interviewed to be the GM last year when, like, he has no GM qualifications. And Brad Ausmus has been a manager before, and look, nobody's banging down his door to be their manager. Right? I mean, he was a manager for the Tigers for 4 years. And that team went straight downhill. And I'm not going to blame Ausmus for that because, A, they got old, they got hurt, and ownership stopped spending money. He was the manager of the Angels. Got hired. If you think about this, he was hired at the end of October in 2018 to replace Mike Scioscia. He managed 1 year. Again, I know the Angels are kind of dysfunctional franchise. He was there 1 year. It good on him for getting a 3-year deal. But Brad Ausmus doesn't move the needle for me in any way, shape, or form. He's not really connected to the organization anymore. I mean, his last year as a member of the Astros organization was 2008. He hasn't been part of this organization for 15 years. But, you know, he did a year with the Angels and a year with the Lastletics. Are we doing the, you know, once an Astro, always an Astro? Have to work for the organization, like, oh, wait, the Knicks now? Hey, as long as you're not Charles Oakley, you get to work here. Sorry, as long as you're not Charles Oakley or Patrick Ewing, you get to work here. Allen Houston's got a job for life. You know, if you ask me where it should be, it probably should be down to a spot on Walt Weiss. I think those are the two best candidates. Certainly the two best guys who might. Look, we know that Espada is a guy. He was here when Jeff Luhnow was the GM. He knows how that partnership works. But, you know, the Astros' track record is they hire some guys from outside the organization. They never hire the internal candidate. So this will either be a first or it'll be a, hey, guess what? We did this again. Well, we'll see how it works out. Coming up next, look, I heard a lot of this today, here and other places, and I've addressed these BS narratives before, but damn it, why y'all keep bringing it up? We need to stop. You're talking about the sheeple? We have to stop the sheepia, the sheep media, the sheepia. They need to be stopped. Next. First, got to tell you about our friends at Iron 24 Fitness and Recovery. Because if you're looking for a gym that has 24/7 access, that doesn't have a contract, and that doesn't have hidden fees, well, then you need me to tell you about Iron 24 Fitness and Recovery. It's a new kind of gym. It's 100% digital app-based membership. You go online. You sign up, you start working out right now. You don't have to go through any of those stupid tours. You don't have to have sales calls or an appointment or any of that other nonsense. You do it online, you go in, you're done. Every Iron 24 facility is fully equipped. High-quality cardio, machines, free weights, and their signature recovery rooms with infrared saunas. Iron 24 Fitness and Recovery has 4 locations around Houston and more opening soon, including one in Sugar Land. Members get universal 24/7 access to all locations. It doesn't cost extra. For a limited time, participating Iron 24 locations are offering new member ESPN listeners 2 weeks free and zero down when you join on the Iron 24 app. So what are you waiting for? Go to iron24.com/ESPN. That's iron24.com/ESPN. Get started today. Go to iron24.com/ESPN. Iron 24 Fitness and Recovery.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. I don't get it.
There are things in this world that we will never fully understand. back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS.
You know, somebody put in here the Ozzie Guillen to be the manager. I'd rather clean my tuchus with 30-grade sandpaper than see Ozzie Guillen manage in Houston. I mean, I'm not going to go so far as say I'll retire because, number one, they might actually just do it to make me retire. And number two, I don't want to be like Chris Russo and say I'm going to retire and then not do it. I don't want to pull a Mel Kiper Jr. and say I'm going to retire and not do it. Those are frauds. I listened to Chris Russo for years in New York on Mike and the Mad Dog. Chris became a caricature of himself when he went to Sirius. He got paid a boatload of money. I don't blame him for it at all. But he became a caricature of himself. He has continued to become a caricature. Each year he gets worse and worse. And, you know, you're watching him with Stephen A on ESPN, and Stephen A's like, you're going to go fetch me coffee. You're going to go get my breakfast. Stephen A also picked the Phillies to win, by the way, but, you know. Why ruin a good story? If you're going to be as big an attention whore, and that's all this was for him to go on all these different shows and say he was going to retire. It's being an attention whore. Hey, look at me. Okay, we're all looking at you. Quit, mofo. Does not have the stones to follow through on his word. What's the point of having a word if you don't follow it? So, we can take that Astros hater and kick his ass to the curb. Also, stop dyeing your hair. It's obvious that you're dyeing your hair.
What a stray. I was not expecting that stray at all.
You know, to me, like, if you're a man and, you know, you're in your mid-60s and your hair is full color, we know you're dyeing it. Okay, we know. We know you were getting gray hairs at 32. You're 64 years old, and you don't have a single gray hair. You're dying it. You are just fermenting it. Actually, Chris Russo is probably paying somebody $500 to dye it for him.
How much do you think Michael Irvin is paying?
Michael Irvin got hair? I said that, and the microphone fell. Inanimate objects falling over.
That should not have been as funny as it was.
that was timed so perfect. We had nothing to do with that.
Nothing to
perfect
do with that.
Perfect timing because of God. God told us that was funny. He made the mic drop. The Lord works in mysterious ways.
Very mysterious way sometimes. Oh, my goodness.
You know, this is something that I addressed many times in the beginning of the year, then again in the middle of the year. And I thought I wouldn't have to keep addressing this because I thought that people in the media would stop being sheep, would stop being morons, would stop being idiots, would stop pushing false narratives. But they just can't help it. This idea that, you know, GM Jeff Bagwell made the decision to sign Rafael Montero and Michael Brantley and Jose Abreu. And like this changing of history is both impressive and pathetic at the same time. Because, see, the internet never lies. Well, it lies, but doesn't forget. The internet doesn't forget. And if you take the time to go back, if your memory doesn't work, and you take the time to go back into the history of the Houston Astros and their offseason from last year, you might remember they had three assistant general managers, one of whom got let go in the Twins series, Bill Ferkus. But the Astros had three different assistant general managers after James Click was let go. Bill Ferkus was one of them. He was fired by the Astros right as the Twins series started in the ALDS. The others are Andrew Ball and Charles Cook. Nice generic names, by the way. And they were the guys who basically brought information to Jim Crane. And Jim Crane kind of had final say on everything. You know why Jim Crane has final say on everything? Because he's a freaking owner, that's why. Because after he had to fire Jeff Luhnow, he swore he would never basically put that kind of trust in anyone else again. And if you don't remember, because, you know, your brain doesn't work well, you might recall James Click never really had the full trust of the owner the way Jeff Luhnow did, because the owner is never going to give that to anyone else ever again. The owner promised he was going to be way more involved than he used to be. And if you want to know the real reason why Rafael Montero got that contract, it's because Jim Crane authored it. Jim Crane wanted to keep the best bullpen in baseball from 2022 together. Why? Because Jim Crane does not necessarily understand that relief pitchers are the most volatile players in the sport of baseball in their year-to-year performance. Jim Crane also probably didn't understand that Rafael Montero had a career year by a mile and just thought, oh, this is who he's going to be. The reason why the Astros signed Michael Brantley was because Jim Crane wanted them to sign Michael Brantley. Jim Crane talked about this literally 3 days after the World Series, that he wanted to bring Michael Brantley back. The players like Michael. They respect Michael. He appreciates Michael. They want to bring him back. They think he's a great clubhouse fit, a great lineup fit. They didn't even talk to any other outfielders because the owner made his decision. And then when we get to Abreu, this is hypocrite city. Because every damn person in the world wanted the Astros to go sign Jose Abreu. There weren't exactly a whole lot of first base options. It was Jose Abreu, Josh Bell, and Anthony Rizzo. And Anthony Rizzo signed with the Yankees right away, so he was off the board. In fact, he was allegedly their number one choice. But the day that Jose Abreu signed, this city was happy as a pig in slop. When that slop rhymes would hit. And Jeff Bagwell did not make the decision to sign him or allocate the dollars, but he was part of the triumvirate that went down to Miami to go see him. This idea, like Jeff Bagwell is out there telling Jim Crane what to do and everybody else is bowing at his feet, is an absolute freaking crock. And I don't understand why, like, somehow Jeff Bagwell was made the guy. Hey, you know what? We're going to blame it all. We're going to blame everything on this guy. What asshat thought that decision up? And why did so many other asshats follow in line like the sheepia they are? Everybody who has an understanding of how the Astros work knows Jim Crane is behind every big thing they do. You want to know who is behind the reacquisition of Justin Verlander? It was Jim Crane. Who signed Verlander to his last contract? Jim Crane. Who pushed through the first acquisition of Justin Verlander? It was Jim Crane. We all know this. This is part of the public record. So why are people acting like they're brand freaking new? Because it's easy. It's lazy. It's convenient. Everybody likes to have a nice low-hanging scapegoat, because if there's an easy scapegoat to point to, I don't have to do research. I don't have to be knowledgeable. I don't have to actually do my job. And this is why the sheepia annoy the ever-living truck out of me. I said truck. You know what I wanted to say. Flock. Frick, frack, and a few other words. that the FCC is very intently listening for. Can we please stop the bullcrap? Stop it now. Get some help. Do your job. Do some research. Stop being lazy. We're talking college football. My buddy Mark Ryan from CBS Sports, the Fan Upstate in South Carolina, he joins us next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here, your family.
Look at our family now.